Come, Holy Spirit, renew the hearts of the faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. FDR very famously said, "The only thing we have to fear is Now, he had no way of knowing about the vampire that slept under my bed when I was 7. Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows, just saying. Yeah, see, somebody else knows. There were other fears I would encounter in my lifetime. Fear of snakes. Fear of bullies. Fear of something terrible happening to my children or people I love. Fear of failure, the list kind of goes on. When I was in seminary, Mark Ramseth, who was the president of the seminary at the time, would often quote to us seminary students Hebrews 10:31, which says this, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Okay, we were seminary students and we were giving up our lives for this. And all that the president of the seminary could say was, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Finally, one day, one of our brave classmates said, "You know, we've got this fear thing covered. What we need now is a little encouragement." So, in today's gospel reading, Jesus is talking to his followers, and he's trying to prepare them to go out and do the mission and ministry he has given them to do. And in the course of this reading, 3 times he has to say to them, "Don't be afraid, fear not." And in between all of those times, he reminds them of all of the reasons their fears are justified. Because it wasn't an easy thing to be a follower of Jesus in those days, to teach as he taught and to heal as he healed and to serve as he served. Those were all grounds for punishment and imprisonment and beatings and beheadings. Still, what Jesus says to them is, "What I give you to say, say in the light. Shout it from the housetops." And then, I suppose Jesus thought he was being encouraging, but he says, "You know, you might die in this. You might die. But don't be afraid of the people who might kill you. Be afraid of the ones who could take your spirit, who could take your soul. And by the way," he finishes, "your work for the kingdom means your family will despise you. The very people that you count on and depend on to love you without condition, because you're working for me," Jesus says, "they'll turn on you." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So in the Old Testament reading, the prophet Jeremiah is also having a few words with God, because as it turns out, being a prophet wasn't an easy thing either. A little history, Jeremiah had been sent to Judah, to the nation of Judah, to proclaim to them their coming destruction if they didn't turn around and mend their ways. That was God's message that Jeremiah was to give them. But the people of Judah didn't listen to Jeremiah. They laughed at him. They had him beaten. They had him put in jail. After all, he was telling them that they were going to be destroyed unless they turned back at a time when they were in the prime of their history. They were prosperous. Their economy was good. Jobs were plentiful. Their army was strong. Why listen to this crazy prophet telling them to repent? He became a laughingstock. And he had something to say to God about that. In fact, this is exactly what he says. He says, "I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out and I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long." Jeremiah knew, and those disciples knew, that following God, that speaking the word of God, and that proclaiming the teachings of Jesus would not be an easy task. But I wonder about us in 21st century America, the odds that we will be harmed because of our faith are pretty slim. Certainly, religious hate crimes do still happen, but they are seldom carried out on Christians so much as they are carried out by folks who claim to be Christians. So what do we learn from our readings today? What do we learn about fear? Because fear is sort of the tie and the theme throughout our readings. And we all live with fear. We are afraid of losing our jobs or our health or our relationships. Some of us are in fear of other people. We are afraid of change, or we are afraid we won't change. We are afraid of death, or we are afraid that we will never really live. And if it isn't enough to hold fears of our own, we often manage to be afraid for others. We are afraid for our children or our friends or for those we love whose lives have gotten so wound up in some terrible habit that it has the power to destroy them. Some of the folks that we meet in our neighborhood here are afraid too. They are afraid that they won't have enough food unless they can grow it in our garden or get it from us at lunch. They are afraid they won't have a place to sleep when the weather is bad. They are afraid they can't find childcare for their children, and so they can't get jobs. They are afraid that because they don't understand English very well, someone will take advantage of them. They are afraid if they get sick, they can't afford to go to the doctor. We are all afraid. We're afraid of more than vampires under the bed. But most days, it does not occur to us that we should be afraid to follow Jesus. Yet, if Scripture is telling the truth, maybe we ought to rethink that. When I was on internship, my internship supervisor used to get so frustrated with parents who would bring their children for baptism with no intention whatsoever of seeing to it that their lives were linked to a faith community. He called it fire insurance, as though somehow the sacrament of baptism was a magic spell cast over the children to prevent them from harm. But in our second reading from Romans today, when Paul is writing to the church at Rome, he reminds us that we were baptized into Christ's death. Luther said that because of our baptisms, we die and rise every day, every day. That what we want and what we desire and what we think we need in order to keep our fears at bay, it's not important. What will ultimately give us new life is this daily dying and rising again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Those early Jesus lovers believed enough to step out in faith in spite of their fears. Jesus even named it for them. "Here's what's going to happen," he said, and they went anyway. They built radical new communities of love that threatened the status quo. The empire wasn't pleased, the neighbors weren't pleased, and their families certainly were not pleased. But what they knew and what they believed was that the love of Christ would have the final word. No longer would laws and rules and regulations carry the voice of authority. Instead, they would live by the voice of the one who said, "Love one another." Don't judge each other. Be my witnesses. Go make disciples. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But in Matthew's gospel, what those believers needed to remember, what they need to carry with them in their fears, is one simple thing. And it's not rhetoric to spout when they are dragged before their accusers, or how to make a compelling case to their families or friends who disagree with them. What Matthew wants them to remember is how much God loves them. Matthew says, you know, even the sparrows are beloved by God, and how much more are you beloved? And that is the message for us as well. For some of us, even before we could speak or think for ourselves, water was poured over our heads, and the sign of the cross was marked on our foreheads, because God loved us first, before we could love God back, before we even knew enough to be afraid. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but the love of God in Christ Jesus poured out for us means that we are never alone with our fears. Those fears were carried to the cross, and on that cross, they lost their power over us. And that is the good news, the gospel news, for this and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is hymn number 451.